We're going to start in John 13. I love this book. Now listen, from chapter 13 to verse 17 is some of the very most intimate words were ever spoken by the Lord Jesus. He spoke them to 11 people, and he would not even begin to speak until Judas left the room. This was an upper room experience, and the things that he said in these three or four chapters are by far the greatest revelation, in my opinion, of the New Testament that there is. And if you understand what's in chapter 13 and a half all the way through 17, you will be one powerful machine for God. Amen. So we're going to look into a little bit of it today. Look at verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, that was Judas, he left the room. Jesus says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Now is the time. He knew it was time. And what he's actually saying there, the Son of Man's glorified, he's coming back to where he was with the Father from the beginning. He came from the Father to represent the Father, and he was returning. He says, now it's time to be glorified, Father. I'm coming back to my home. Amen. And if God be glorified in him, God shall glorify him himself and shall straightway glorify him. Praise God. Verse 33, little children. Now he's speaking. Notice how he addresses his disciples, little children. There's 11 men here hearing this message. You don't have to worry about when you release something, there might be 50 people hearing it for the first time when God's through, generation after generation after generation after generation will hear it. Jesus was not concerned about what he spoke. All it took was one man to hear it. And through that one man, John, it was published for every generation to come. You have a copy of it. Isn't that awesome? Little children, a little while I'm with you, and yet you shall seek me. And as I said to the Jews, now listen to this. He said this in chapter 7 and 8, but we don't have time to go over there. Whether I go, you cannot come. Wow. I don't want him telling me that. Amen. And there was a reason why they couldn't come, because they were trying to kill him. Those particular ones hated him with a passion. And he said, listen, I came here to introduce you to somebody. And I'm going back to him. And where I'm going, you can't come if you're going to try to kill me, because I'm the only way you're going to get to him. Verse 36, and Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? That is the universal question. Where are you going? If you'll find out where you're going, you'll find out where I am. And if you find out where I am, you'll find out where you're supposed to be. You'll get that in a second. And he said, where I'm going, look at this. You cannot follow me now, Peter, but afterwards you'll follow me. Don't you like Peter? Peter said, Lord, why can't I follow thee now? I will lay down my life and die for you. That's what we do. He said, will you, Peter? Will you? He goes, before this night's over, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows in the morning. He goes, but it's all right, Peter, because the first trip, I got to go alone. But I'm going to come back and get you. And what did he do? He went to the cross, and then he was buried for 3 days and three nights, and the Father raised him up. And then he comes back and says, now, Peter, would you like to go where I am? You see that? Now go to chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Now, I know every one of you want a mansion, and there are mansions in heaven. I can tell you that right now. There are. But this is not particularly speaking of the mansions that you and I know of, like, you know, the 5,000, 7,000, 8,000, you know, Mediterranean kind of thing, if that's what you like. That's what I like. When I was 17 years old, you know what I was into? Black lacquer. I could just imagine if I got born again and the rapture came, because he gives you the desires of the heart, and I walk in there in heaven and I got a contemporary house that's glass and white with black lacquer, I'd have been in heaven. But now that I'm 40 something, if I walked into heaven with a glass house white and black lacquer. I'd have to talk with the Lord. I said, excuse me. This is not my house. He said, no, that's what you wanted at 70. I said, yeah, but I changed. So somehow he knows how to walk with your change. Amen. Praise God for that. But he's not talking about mansions here. He said, in my Father's house, there's many dwelling places. This is talking about a spiritual dimension. But how many of you know you and I are dual citizens? You are a citizen of the earth, but if you are born again, you are also a citizen of the kingdom of God. You have inherited rights to that kingdom now. You're a spiritual being first. And because of that, being that spiritual being, you have an ability to live in the Father's kingdom. If you're taught. Amen. If you're not taught, you'll go around being an earth being all your life. You know what you're like? You ever saw that movie Cocoon a long time ago? You know, them earth beings, they were actually aliens, but they were in an earth body. But when they peel that flesh back, there's something else in there. You got to know, when you peel this flesh and blood back, there's something else in there. That something else can be connected to a something else right now. Amen? We got to connect the something else to the something else. Now listen to this, in my Father's house there's many dwelling places, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place. You want to underline that a place right there. I'm going to show you where that a place is today. A place for you. Now a lot of people look at this as like, oh, when I get to heaven, he's got a place. I'm going to tell you right now, this place has been prepared for you now, and you have access now. Everyone say now. And if I go to prepare a place, there it is again, a place, a dwelling place, I will come again. Peter, I'm coming again. Don't be troubled. I will come back for you. You can't go the first trip. Only I can go to the cross. But I'm going there for a reason, and I'm going to come back and get you. And if I come back again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ooh, you want to say where I am, a place that where he is. If you can find where I am is, the place where I am lives, you're going to be well off. Amen. Where I go, you know in the way. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know the way you're going. So he tells them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to introduce you to him. I'm going to make a way where there's no way. I'm going to make a path in the mighty waters. You're cut off from him because Adam, your forefather, inherited a law and a nature that cut you off from your true father. But I'm coming to restore that. And when I come back and get you, I'm going to introduce you to him. And when I come introduce you to him, everything's going to change. Amen. Now, do you remember the I go to prepare a place and the where I am? Now go to the Ephesians. I want you to remember those two words. I'm going to prepare a place. Say a place. Say a place and where I am. Let's go to the a place first and then we'll go to the where I am. Ephesians 1 and 3. I'm building something here because I'm going to jump into a heavier revelation, but you got to understand where we're going. Look at Ephesians 1 and 3. I'm going to go through this because we spent a lot of time on this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places in Christ. I go to prepare a place. And I bless you with all spiritual blessings in that place, that heavenly place that's in Christ, that's in the Father. All the spiritual blessings in heavenly places flows there. So if it flows there, don't you think that God's given us access? Except the only part of you, your flesh and blood, cannot access that. Your mind cannot access that. There's one thing that can, it's your faith in God's word and believe what he said. Your spirit can, because you're a spirit first. But if all you've ever been taught has been trained in the natural things of this earth, you're going to get bound to this earth. And when you're bound to this earth, you're going to miss your inheritance that he's laid up for you. And when you walk into heaven, you're going to go, oh my God, all that was for me. And he says, yes. But I was never taught that. I said, that's because you never attended Houston Revival. I said, oh, no, I'm just kidding. Look at verse 19. So heavenly places, I go to prepare a place, a dwelling room. It's in that heavenly place where all spiritual blessing flows. All right. Look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Nobody has a problem. He raised him from the dead. He raised you from the dead too. When you were born again, why do you think he went to hell? He took something down there with him. We were buried with him in baptism, raised with him in life. He buried the old man you inherited from Adam. When you said, I do, Lord, and you invite him into your heart, that old man you were born with went down into the grave with him, and God buried it forever. And then he raised that new man up into resurrection life. When he was raised, you were raised. Now notice this, what he says here. Verse 20. He wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand. So where's the place? I go to prepare a place for you. Set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. So he sat there. All the spiritual blessing flows there. He went and prepared a place for you. Go to chapter 2, verse 6. I got to run through this because I got to get where we're going today. Ephesians 2, 6. Everyone say, Shaka. Ephesians 2, 6. He hath raised us up together. Not only did he raise him, but when he raised him, he raised you. Boy, if you get that, he raised us up together. Together with what? Together with him. Do you understand the dynamics of the kingdom of God that Jesus Christ shares his throne with you as a believer, as a joint heir? At the right hand of God, his glory is the position that he holds at the right hand of God. He freely shares it with you. And all the glory of the right hand belongs to the church. Raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places. It's a throne in which a priest sits upon, a priest that is throned in a kingly throne. Thus, the order of Melchizedek, a high priest, but the king as well. We are kings and priests under our God, priest upon a king's throne. We are not beggars. We are not borrowers. And soon the kings of the earth will rise, the true kings of God. They're not natural kings, but they come from another kingdom and they have greater authority than the natural kings of the earth. Those kings rise, they'll carry that banner of the kings. Marketplace ministry, wealth transference, authority, administration, government in the spirit that releases into this earth system. Booyah. But I notice that sit together in heavenly places. See, I go to prepare a place. He sat you together. That's the place he prepared for you, right? Now, John 14, I want you to go back there, but I'm going to read you something. I want you to hear this. Verse 3, again, don't go there. Just listen. If I go to prepare a place for you, you're going to love this. I will come again. He went to the cross, raised to his Father, then he came again. And when you said, I do to the Lord, come into my heart. See, he came in. And he, what did he do? You weren't just born again. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. That was saved by grace. You're a bona fide son now and daughter of the Most High God. He raised you up and made you to sit together with him. He came and got you and brought you to where he was. The whole story of the gospel was not to bring you to the cross and park you at the cross. The whole story of the gospel was bring you to the cross, be forgiven, and you be reconciled to the Father through the cross. And then he takes you to the Father and he sits you down where he's sitting, made to sit together. All right. Now look at this. 14, if I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, here's the story of the gospel, that where I am, there you may be also. Say, where I am, If you want to find God, God's not, Father, please come and help me here. Come help me. He will do that because he loves you. But if you want fullness, you want to know what this book's really about. You're the one that sits on the counter all day long. We open during Easter and Christmas. And you want to know what this book's about? It's being with him where he is. Because this book was to get you restored back into the Father. And the Father's explosive. His glory is explosive. His power is explosive. His love is explosive. He'll transform you in a day. Religion can't do it. The church ain't getting it done right now. You like that Texas lingo there? Now notice he said, they're where I am. Say where? I am. There you may be. Go to Colossians. If you have an American Standard Bible today, you're blessed. Just for today only. Otherwise, we go back to King James. Jesus himself taught in King James. Y'all know that, right? Right? Of course, King James didn't come to the 16th century, but Jesus himself taught in King James. Colossians 3, verse 1. I'm bringing out American Standard Version here. This is awesome. I caught this when I was sharing this with Michael. I was expounding this to him, and we caught this. Well, you'll learn a lot when you just start talking about the Word. Of course, I act like I knew it the whole time, you know. I said it to him. I go, man, that was good. But I didn't tell him. I said, yeah, I knew it. I knew it. No. If you then were raised with Christ, if you then be risen with him, look at that. That's past tense. That's not when you get to heaven after you die here. That's now. If you be risen now, if you be risen now, if you be risen, boy, we got a lot to learn. We have a lot to learn. Seek the things that are above. Why would he tell you to seek a place if you didn't have access to it? What are the things above? Heaven, the glory, the right hand of God, access. Seek that place. He wouldn't tell you to seek something he didn't give you access to. I don't understand that. It's the first time I've ever heard that. I know it. I know it. But we're going to hear a lot of it. Amen. Seek the things that are above. Look at this. Where Christ is. What did he say? What did he say to Peter and the disciples? He says, you can be with me where I am. There you may be also. So he's telling him where he's at. Seek those things that are above where Christ is. So where is he? We can find out where he is. We can find out where to seek. Find out where we're supposed to be. Because he said, you can be with me. Raised together with me, where I am, there you may be also. What'd he say? That where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Where are you? Raised together with him, made to sit together in heavenly places. That's third heaven jurisdiction, by the way. Everyone say third heaven. Paul said that I got caught up in the third heaven. Sometimes you get caught up, all of you. Sometimes your spirit can just go, see. Your spirit has access because you're a spiritual being first. The kingdom of God is within you, and the kingdom of God is not of this world. So you got a whole kingdom inside you that's not of this world. You have access to the kingdom that's not of this world. Even though your body gives you access here, your spirit gives you access there. Booyah! He said, if you be raised together, seek those things that are above where he is, where Christ is, where I am. There you may be also where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Oh, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are upon the earth. For you died. Really? Pinch yourself. Really? Dang. There is a part of you that died when you were born again, believe it or not. Now, religion, here's what the devil loves to do. He likes to put chains on you. We're going to look at some chains today. Because after you're born again, the first thing he doesn't want you to know, because according to Ephesians 1, when he raised Christ up, He raised him far above the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness. He raised him far above. When he raised him, he raised you too. But what the devil like you to know is when you're born again, said, sit that right there in that chair of religion and let me teach you how you'll never find your inheritance and go to church for 50 years and never really know who you are. Do you know it's possible to go to church for 50 years and go backwards? That's pretty bad, isn't it? Not in this church. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, not in this church. Ain't no way. Listen, for you died, your life is hid with Christ in the Father. When he says that, your life, listen, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. Listen, God loves to bless you. He wasn't saying there, I come to give you a lifestyle and a lifestyle more abundantly. But God likes to bless your lifestyle. He came to give you and share his very life with you. Pure, unadulterated life that flows from the throne. Isn't that amazing? So where he is not of this earth's jurisdiction. Where he is, we know is not of, and by the way, Paul said, I got caught up in the third heaven. So deep calls to deep here. Y'all ready? If there's a third heaven, there's got to be a first heaven and a second heaven. Wow. We should close the service right there. I'm overloaded. First and second heaven. Now we know the third heaven is the glory of God. It's the kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. Well, the first heaven we know is this earth's jurisdiction. It's the one you're born in. He calls it a heaven, but it's really a jurisdiction. The second one is where the demonic realm lives. That have access to this one too, but they have a full-blown second heaven. That's the one he raised you above, by the way. Everyone said, I've been raised above that. Don't need to be hanging out there. I'm above it. The second heaven is the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age in spiritual wickedness in heavenly places found in Ephesians 6. That's the second heaven. So you got first, this jurisdiction. Second, the demonic jurisdiction. Third, the kingdom. Now, God did something very remarkable that kind of makes your head swim and spin a bit. Is what he did is he put the third jurisdiction in you. Now, I don't understand all that myself, but he said the whole kingdom's within you. In other words, you've got access to the third. It's all inside you because the new man inside you is not of this world. You're a bona fide citizen of the kingdom of God. All right? Y'all got all that? All right, now, let's go over to John 10 real quick, and then we're going to get into Michael's revelation. I asked him if I could jump into this. It's such a powerful revelation. He's about 2 weeks into the right hand of the Father, and these revelations are coming like this. And go to John 10. Now, he's talking about he's the door of the sheepfold. Very, very powerful chapter here. Verse 2, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. The sheep hear his voice. Now his voice is Jesus. You're a sheep. Thank God you're not a goat. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank God you're not a goat. Look at this. Now watch this. You got to look at this very careful. He said, he calleth his own sheep by name. He leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. So notice this. He brings them through a gate of sorts or a door. He leads them out of one jurisdiction. All right. What jurisdiction did he lead you out of? Translated out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Pass from death to life. You were translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Say, translated into the kingdom. Come on, stay with me, because we got it some on. Translated into the kingdom, right? See, now what happens? He leads them out. I was translated into the kingdom, out of darkness, and then, after he gets me out of the jurisdiction I was born in, see, you were born in the jurisdiction of this earth. You were born with a law of sin and death, abiding in you. Everybody was born. Death passed upon all men. All its sin falling short of the glory of God. That's not you now. He led you out. He translated you out. And notice this, when he got you through the door, he didn't stop there. Then he got in front of you. I'm in the kingdom now. I'm born again. I've come through the door. But then he gets in front of you. He said, and then he says, follow me. And he keeps leading you. Well, where are we going? He goes, I'll show you. Follow me. Now, where he's taking you is huge. He said, now he says, he putteth them forth and then goeth before them. The sheep follow. They know his voice. And he expounds on this in verse 9. You're going to need every bit of this revelation when we tap into Acts again here. Okay. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, where are you entering into? The kingdom. Access. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. And then he shall go in and out. Ascend, descend. Ascend to the kingdom. And then bring what you get there back into the earth. Everyone say in, out. In, out. Where are you going into? It's not of this world. It's a jurisdiction. It's not of this world. You go into the kingdom of God. He said, you go in and out and find pasture. Now, God's grass is pretty good. His pasture in the high places is full of life, love, victory, glory, revelation, love, peace. Oh, my God, there's so many facets to Father when you find him and start eating. Woo. See, you're a sheep. Sheep eat pasture. Amen? All right. So remember the in and out. And remember, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, all right? Where are you following him? You get, listen to this, you're translated out of one jurisdiction. He's bringing you to another jurisdiction. Watch what happens here. And I want you to go to Acts chapter 12. Now, one of the greatest trials that Peter ever faced, when Herod threw him in prison, he was going to kill him. And the church made intercession, but not one time was the Father ever worried about it. You know, with the Father, half the time, if we can get a hold of him, say, God, he'll go, don't worry about it. Everyone say, don't worry about it. Nothing moves God. Nothing. All right. We're going to look in Acts chapter 12. I love this. All right. Verse 1. Now, we're going to have to get some imagery going here. All right, some poetic imagery. You need to know what's happening here. Herod represents somebody. Peter represents somebody. Angels represent somebody. The quaternions of soldiers represent somebody. Okay? Now, follow me. This is good. After I preach it once, it's my revelation. First time, it's Michael Fuller's. If you're the pastors, listen to me by tape. You need to call our ministry and have him into your church. Verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Now we're going to begin here, verse 4. So you know what's happening. Peter's in prison. Now Peter, in our parable today, in our story, is going to represent the church. Herod is going to represent the devil. He did that very well in his lifetime, all right? When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison. This is where the church is, believe it or not. We're kind of in a prison of sorts because we don't know who we are. We're out of position. And when you get out of position, you get in prison and you don't know it. Put him in prison and delivered him. Now, I want you to get this. Four quaternions of soldiers to keep him. There were four different levels of soldiers that were keeping. The quaternions, four soldiers, but there was four of those, 16 in all, but four levels of demonic forces keeping him bound. We don't know it, but we have an enemy out there, and he's very good at what he does, and if you fight him in his arena, you'll be bound. They had Peter, or the church, right where they want him, chained down. Now watch this. Ephesians says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, one, the rulers of the darkness of this age, two, powers, three, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Four levels of demonic government that you wrestle with, whether you know it or not. Four. It's in Ephesians chapter 6. We wrestle not against. I want you to see it because some of you, I want you to look at it. Let's go to Ephesians 6 real quick, verse 11. I'm going to show you the four because the four quaternions had the church bound. Notice where they had them bound? In chains during time of Easter. What's Easter? Resurrection. What they're trying to bind you in the season of the resurrection, they want to keep you down. Because the devil can keep you down and you not coming into that rightful place I just told you about in the first part of this service. See, he had him bound during Easter. He locks you up during the resurrection. See, it's that resurrection he's afraid of. He don't care if you go to church all your life. It's the resurrection. Because you start tapping into the resurrection of the God, you're going to be a very, very changed person. And you're going to tap into the Father's power, the Father's revelation, and the Father's love. And when you have those, things are going to start changing in the earth. The church will begin representing the Father in a brand new dimension in this age. You watch it happen. The world will know it very soon. The world has no respect for the church because it's powerless right now. It's nothing but words, words only. Jesus, when he stood up, he said, if you don't believe the words I say unto you, then believe the works, because they're going to testify that I'm from him. He wouldn't even argue with them. He said, just believe the works, because no man can do such things. God's going to anoint the church like that again, but right now the church is in a prison. They got to get out of it. Amen. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God. We're going to get into this, so I want you to go ahead and look at it now. Put on the whole armor of God. You're going to need that armor. You may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. One quaternion of soldiers. What's the second one? Powers. Two quaternion. The second quaternion. Against rulers of darkness of this world. The third quaternion. And spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. The fourth quaternion. Four quaternions binding the church in a prison. And God's about to walk us out. Amen. Now notice it said the rulers of darkness of this world, they have access to this world system. They want to bind you into this system. They want to bind you into this jurisdiction. The church will never express as long as they keep trying to express from this jurisdiction. All they're going to do is look good. They got nice paint on. They sound good, but they still have the same expression and nothing's getting accomplished because the power of the kingdom hasn't showed up. All right. When he apprehended him. See, the devil wants to apprehend. Well, see, he binds us into systems. See, the devil works through systems. God works through the kingdom. The devil works through systems. He wants to keep you bound in a system so you never know the Father. All right. Verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers. See, now the church, Peter's the church, has been delivered now. They're under an oppression, a government of darkness that we don't know how to fight. But God knows. Here's the beauty of God. He was going to just, instead of fight against them all day long. I love spiritual warfare people. They fight. They're always fighting and just fighting in the wrong dimension. Listen, if you go in the second heaven and just fight all the time, that's all you're going to do is ever fight. He didn't ask you to fight from the second heaven. He said, come up to where I am. I raise you above it and then fight because it's now under your feet. And when you learn to get into the kingdom, you can release from the kingdom. You'll have a whole lot more authority. Listen, when you ever tried to exert your authority, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. You haven't been walking with God. You hadn't opened the Bible in 12 years. And all of a sudden you come up in front of an enemy. And go, in the name of Jesus. Like you're going to yell and he's going to listen. You know what makes that name of Jesus work? Where you are. Not what you say. If you're in this jurisdiction shouting at him. If you're in the kingdom, when you're ascended into your rightful place and far above him, and then you say that name, they'll bow immediately. It's all about where you are, not just what you say. You can shout all day, but when you get to where you are, where he is, when you get into that place and then speak and exercise from that position, things start bowing at that point. That's why he wants to keep you bound. It's good revelation. Michael, you're preaching good today, buddy. Delivered 4 quaternions of soldiers intending after Easter. Just don't let them get into the resurrection. Keep them bound. Don't let that resurrection happen. That's the only difference that marked him than all the other ones, is he was resurrected. And what's going to mark you and everybody else is when you get resurrected with him, because you were raised with him. He wants to bind you up during the season of resurrection. See, the season of resurrection is upon the church. We're called to resurrect into the right hand of the Father. We're called to ascend into the right hand of the Father. It's on the church. It's our season. It's our time. It's the full expression of the Godhead coming from his church in this hour. But the church has to get positioned into the right hand. And the enemy wants to bring the quaternions. He wants to bring the demonic host, and he wants to lock them down in chains. And he locks them down so they never ascend, and they end up in chains. Everyone say, but God. Woo. Look at verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Now, here's where it's going to begin. But prayer was made without ceasing. Prayer was made without ceasing for the church, from the church. Right now, we need to start praying for the church. The church needs to pray for the church. You know what I mean? We need to pray that we get positioned in our rightful place. Verse 6, and when Herod, when the devil would have brought him forth, see, he wanted to kill him. He doesn't want to bind you. He wants to put the light out, see. The devil, he's got good plans for you too. He wants you to reverse, and God wants you to move forward. And that same night, well, I feel his glory coming in here. The same night, Peter was sleeping. There's a big problem right there. The church is sleeping. Be sober, be vigilant. Your devil walks around like a roaring lion. He's got chains on you. We don't even know it. I didn't know how chained I was till I started coming into the right hand of the Father and having encounters with God. I was encountering the Father's love and encountering his glory in the right hand and encountering his levels of his presence that I was encountering even in the anointing, even in my office with him. And I said, oh my God. And the one great thing I realize is just how far the enemy was under our feet. But if you live in his territory, he'll make you think that he's above you. He'll play those exorcist movies in there, you know. You know, with a cross. And you run. I wish I could get a hold of one of them one time. You know, them exorcist movies where they just, come out! Between two soldiers bound with chains. You see the problem. And the keepers before the door kept the prison before the door. They were keeping a door from you. And they were heavily stacked in there. Why would you need any more than 4 at the door? They had 4, 4, 4, and 4. 4 levels to keep you. And they stood before a door because they didn't want you to get through a door. Because once you got through a door, it's all over. They keeping you. Oh, look at this, verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came. Now, the angel of the Lord is the word of God coming now. Here's the word of the Lord. Now, watch what the word of the Lord says. And the light shined in the prison. We need some light to shine in the prison. Everyone say amen. Amen. We need some light to shine. The church needs a little bit of light. And he smote the church on the side. I just happen to think he smote it on the right side. Whoosh. When he smote that chains, he opened the right hand of God up. He smote the church on the side. Now watch this. And raised him up. As he raised him up, Notice the word of the Lord. He raised him up. Raised him up. And he said, arise quickly. Now notice what he's going to do. He raised him up. Get ready. We're going to go through some quaternions here. I'm going to walk you through some quaternions. Notice they walk through with no warfare whatsoever. They're going to walk through four quaternions of soldiers, but two jurisdictions. Why? Because they're going through a third jurisdiction. They got to get through two. The church has got to get up and out of this jurisdiction, up and out of the second heaven. And the church has to come into the third heaven where they belong. We're a third day church. It's the third season for the church. It's the third day, the third millennium. Everything, a day of the Lord is like 1,000 years. We're in that third millennium. See, it's the resurrection. He was raised on the third day. This is our season. And the enemy wants to keep us out of the resurrection. If he does, he just make you a natural believer. Just a natural person. You're far more than that. Amen? Now what should the angel said, verse 8, the angel said, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And he did. And he said, cast thy garment about thee. What does Ephesians say? 6, gird yourself with a belt of truth. Put on, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Put on the shoes and put the garment on you. What he's telling you, put that armor on because you're about to pass through some jurisdictions. I got to get you into the city. Watch this. It says, take upon you the whole armor of God. Verse 9, and went out. Everyone say, went out. And followed. Now, what did John 10 say when he got him out? He said he got him out, and then he stood before them and said, now follow me. See, when you're born again, you're not just supposed to sit there as a born again believer. You're supposed to come into the kingdom and then follow him. He's going to take you out of some jurisdictions and he's going to bring you into a third jurisdiction where the Father lives. He's going to bring you into the glory of the Father. So here it is. He loosed the chains and now he's saying, come out, come out. Follow, follow. That's just the first one right there. They just loosed the chains. They got four quaternions of soldiers to pass through. Peter thought he was in a dream. That's the way it's going to feel like to you when you start passing in. I'm like in a dream here, Father. Because see, all this happened in the spirit, my friends. He went out, verse 9, and followed him and did not know it was true. It was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Verse 10, and when they were past, say they were past, the first, the second. First heaven, second heaven. Where is God leading you? Past the first, out of the first, translated out, past the second heaven. Where is he leading you? To the city. The third heaven. He's leading you into the third heaven, my friends. Watch me. He got him out of the first. He got him out of the second. He's leading them into the third, where you sit together with him in heavenly places. I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, where Christ is, there shall you be also. I'm bringing you to where I am. I'm going to get you out of the chains. I'm going to pass you through the first jurisdiction, through the second jurisdiction. I'm going to seat you with me, far above it all. And when you get seated with me, you'll come and express my kingdom from that position. Devil don't like this kind of stuff. You know that, don't you? He'd much rather you just be a nice religious person than ever know truly who you are and what belongs to you. They were past. Were past. Everyone say, I was past. I'm were past. I'm a were past kind of guy. I'm a born again were past. Devil stomping. A mountain moving. I'm a were past believer. Because I'm past the first and past the second. And when they were past the first and the second, the first and the second, the first and the second, They came. Now notice when they were going past the first, there were quaternions of soldiers there. There was demonic warfare everywhere. It didn't touch them. They walked through it. See, your inheritance is to walk through it. You don't get caught up. No, they didn't have to draw no swords and start fighting with the soldiers. God's given you access past the first, past the second. You've got access to go right past it. You don't have to sit there in the second heaven and shout at them all day. I rebuke you. I'm coming through. I'm coming through. I'm coming through. No, just come on through. You have an open door. You go in to the kingdom and you come back out and deliver. You go back in. You deliver. You go back in. They called it ascending and descending. In fact, in chapter 1 of Acts, chapter 1, when Jesus caught up, he was talking to him, and then he just went, poof! There's two angels there in Acts chapter 1. He was talking to the disciples, and he just ascended. And the disciples go, oh! What would you do right now if I went through the roof? You go, oh! Now the angels are standing there, and they go, man, why you stand gazing upon him that's went into heaven? This same one that went into heaven, he'll come back down. Get used to the idea of ascending and descending. The heavens have been opened. The heavens have been opened. Get used to it. It's our inherited right. Oh, I love this. Verse 10, they were past the first and the second and came unto the iron gate. That's what they were protecting, the iron gate. They can protect all they want. Notice what that leadeth unto the city, Jerusalem, Zion, which opened to them. You can protect it all they want, but it opened unto them of their own, of its own. Notice the word. I want you to see this. He said, it lead him to the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Why would you call a gate a his? I call a gate an it. The Bible calls it a his. It said the gate opened of his. Why? Because he was the gate that stands in the third heaven. They passed through the first, passed through the second, and it opened of his own accord. All those demonic forces were standing at that gate, and they could do nothing but intimidate. All they could do is intimidate. All they can do is lie and deceive and make you think that it's not available. But once you get to that gate, he opens of his own accord, because he is the doorway to the Father. He opens wide for you. Say, come on into the city of Zion, your inheritance. Whoa! Open you gates, the King of Glory is coming through. Man, I like that. Hebrews 12. Now remember, the gate was Jerusalem. He went into the city. See? The city was Jerusalem, but he, the gate was a he. He opened of his own accord. Now Jerusalem is also called Zion. So I'm going to make the link here when we close with Zion to the right hand of the Father. I'm going to show you Zion is the right hand of the God. Verse 18, Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 18. You are not come unto a mount that might be touched with the hands. See, that was Mount Sinai when God brought them in. That was a mountain they could touch. He was leading them to a promised land, but they could touch that mountain. He goes, where I'm leading you, you're not going to touch it with your hands. Where I'm leading a New Testament, born-again, Spirit-filled church of believers, of spirits of just men made perfect, I'm leading you to another mountain, but it can't be touched with the hands. It's got to be touched by faith. But you have full access, just like your body could touch that mountain of Mount Sinai. Your spirit can touch the mountain that belongs to you. Amen? Verse 22, but you're come unto Mount Zion. Whoo! This is not the one in Jerusalem right now. This is the spiritual one where the Father's throne is. Unto the city of the living God. City of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem. Heavenly city. City of the living God. And to innumerable company of angels, the general assembly of the church of the firstborn. Say, that's me. Which are written in heaven, the God of just of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Say, that's me.
That's where you're going. That's where you're. That's what the gate that opened to you. It opened to the city. It was opening into Zion. He opened it. This city belongs to you now. All the spiritual blessing in heavenly places lives there. Look at verse 25. This is a stern warning for all of us. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. You know what? You're really in Bible school this morning. You know that, don't you? You're not really in church. You're in an advanced Bible school this morning. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that's speaking from heaven? Where is he speaking from? The right hand. He's speaking out of Zion. What is he saying? Come up. He says, see that you do not turn away. If they turned away at Sinai, how much more the one who's speaking of heaven saying, do not turn away, but come up. He's speaking where? From the heavens. From the heavens. Go to Psalms 110. I love this verse. Psalm of David, Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord. Now David said, the Lord said unto my Lord. Who was his Lord? The Lord. Who was the Lord of the Lord? The Father. The Father said to the Son, basically. That's how you can read it. The Father said to the Son. Say, the Father said to the Son. Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool. Where's he asking us to sit? Why? Because you're in him. Sit thou on my right hand and I'll make your enemies a footstool. You know why? I can still be under your feet if you'll come and sit with me. We go through so many needless battles, my friend. So many dead-end roads because we're not high enough as a church. We've been trained in the ways of a world system and a religious culture that binds us in chains and prison because we haven't heard the truth of who we are. You were never meant just to be a little religious person sitting in a chair. You were meant to ascend into the Father's glory. You have the right to be there as your spirit has full access to that place. Look at what he says, verse 2. And the Lord shall send the rod of strength out of Zion. Sit thou on my right hand in a kingly throne that's in the right hand. And he calls that Zion, see? You see, he calls that Zion. He goes, and then I'll send the rod of strength out of that place. Where did Peter go? He said, he, the gate, opened of his own accord. He went into the city of Zion. He passed into the right hand of God. Passed out of the first jurisdiction, passed out of the second, and he sat down in the right hand of God. And God began putting the enemies under the feet, see? Under the feet. You shall go in, you shall go out.